Righty, I do appreciate the opportunity to be here, and what a blessing it is. And honestly, we kind of feel like we're a little bit at home. We lived down near Little Hocking for 2 years, and so it's been about several years now since we were here. But we enjoy being here in this area, and that is a blessing to us. And I appreciate being able to come. And thank you, Pastor, for allowing us and working with us. A little adjustment in the schedule for us to be here on a Wednesday. I do appreciate that. But this is my wife, Danielle, right here, who's staying with me. And we have two daughters. Jaina is almost three. She'll be three in about a week and a half. And Alexis is 1 year old, and they're downstairs in the nursery. And I'm just thankful to have my family here with me. But we are missionaries going to the country of Indonesia. And you saw a lot about it in the video there earlier, but you may have noticed there at the beginning there was a little bit of unusual sound there playing at the beginning, a little bit of an unnerving sound. That was the beginning of the Muslim call to prayer. Being the largest Muslim country in the world, when we get there to Indonesia, that'll be the first thing that we hear every morning. Get started about 4:30 in the morning, and so that's the country that we're going to, is the largest Muslim country in the world. And so, if you would please pray for us as we're there, and as we're starting churches, would appreciate that. That would be a huge blessing, and be glad to answer any question that you may have, as Pastor said at the table, and look forward to meeting some of you after a while. But we're going to go ahead and jump right into God's Word this evening. And thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to speak. And that is a great blessing to us. So if you would please turn with me in your Bibles this evening to John chapter 4 and verse 35. That's where we're going to begin here this evening, in John 4:35. And here in John 4:35, we see a familiar verse as we if you think about missions, and maybe you've seen this as maybe a theme verse for a missions conference or a missions Sunday or something. It's an oftentimes used when we're thinking about the need for the lost and to take the gospel and the truth of God's word around the world. And here we're going to look at this verse, and it's a statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read this verse, and we're going to kind of go back to the beginning here of John chapter 4, and to see what caused Jesus Christ to make this statement. What led up to this comment that we think of and regard so highly when it comes to reaching the lost and for the need of those without Christ. And so, if you look with me there in John 4:35, the Bible says this: "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Again, it says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And let's go ahead and bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today, and thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together in your house and to open up your word. I pray, Lord, that as we read it, that it would inspect us as well, Lord, and as we hear your word read, that we would consider it not just the word of the speaker, but as it is in truth your word. I pray that we'd be willing to adapt ourselves and to change ourselves to be more like you. I pray that as we hear your word, we would be encouraged, we'd be challenged by what it has to say. Father, I pray that you'd use me in what ability that I may or may not have, and to magnify your name, Lord. I pray that we would leave closer to you because of what we hear this evening. Father, we love you. Thank you so much that you first loved us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Here in John 4:35, again, the Lord is speaking. And we think of the Lord Jesus Christ in different contexts sometimes as we read through the Gospels, and we think about the Lord Jesus Christ as being a great teacher. And we think of the Lord being a personal soul winner. We think of the Lord as being a preacher. We think of him as being the Savior. We think of the Lord Jesus Christ in some different contexts and some different things that he did while he was on this earth. And one of those things that we see the Lord in the capacity of is as a missionary. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a minute, but he also was a teacher. He also was a preacher as well. And here in John 4:35, Jesus is taking a little bit of time to address his disciples and to teach his disciples something that apparently they had missed. As Jesus makes this statement, he looks at his disciples and says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields." And as I read this statement that he makes here, it's very familiar to something that I have said many times. I had the opportunity for about 4 years to be a high school math and science teacher. Okay, and so that's what I trained to do. That's one of the things that I enjoy, being able to teach young people. And so there were many times when I would be standing up in front of a class, and we would be talking about some important topic, some complicated, sometimes maybe something simple. We were talking about a math concept or a science concept, and there would be maybe one or two students who they were physically there. They were in the room. But they weren't there. Okay, their mind was elsewhere. Maybe they were sitting in the back and they were staring out the window, maybe thinking about what they were going to do after school. Maybe they're thinking about what's going on this weekend, or maybe they're thinking about what they're going to have for lunch, whatever it might be. Okay, and there are many times when I would have to speak up and I would just say, hey, listen up. Hey, let me have your attention. I want everyone looking this way. I need everyone's attention here. I want you to focus on what I have to say, because what I'm trying to tell you right now is more important than whatever you're worried about right now, whatever you're thinking about. And here in John 4:35, Jesus really was saying the exact same thing. Jesus is looking at his disciples and says, "Lift up your eyes. It's time to change your focus from what you think is so important, and it's time to look up and to see what really is most important." And that's what we're going to do this evening. We're going to look back at John chapter 4, and we're going to see what was really the most important thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you would please turn back maybe a page or two to the beginning of John chapter 4. And as we go back to the beginning of this chapter, we're going to see probably a familiar story that you've seen before, that you've read. The story is usually referred to as the story of the woman at the well. The story of the woman at the well. And those are the events that led up to Jesus making this mission statement in John 4:35. But as we think about the life of Christ, I mentioned that Jesus really was the greatest missionary. As we look at this passage, we see that Jesus really was on a mission trip. Jesus had left where he was and was a little bit in unfamiliar territory, and he went there for a particular purpose. Now, a lot of times when we think about missions, we think about someone maybe who leaves their home and leaves their country and goes to a foreign place and sometimes lives in uncomfortable circumstances and eats weird food. And we sometimes think about, missionaries eating bugs and strange things. And we had an opportunity this past week to be at a missions conference with a veteran missionary who had been on the field in a few different places in Africa and in Japan. And he was telling us about some of the foods that they like to eat. And so apparently some of the things that they like to eat, they would eat crickets and bugs that were fried and things like that. And they enjoyed them. That was something that they liked. Okay. Many times that's what we think about when we think about a missionary. They're going to a foreign place, and I could never do that. Maybe that's the very next thought that comes to our mind. That's kind of neat. That's interesting. I could do that, but I could never do that. But the fact is that really missions is more than that. The fact is we can be a missionary wherever we are. A missionary is really just someone who is sent out on a mission, someone with a purpose to accomplish. And that purpose is to share the truth of the Word of God, and to share about who Jesus was and why Jesus came. Really, in Jesus' life, besides a few short years at the beginning of his life, Jesus really never left the nation of Israel. Jesus never left his country, but yet he did travel and he did go with the purpose of sharing the truth of the gospel. And here in John 4, we see a trip that Jesus was on. And I want to, as we read this, I want us to look at it as a story, not just about the woman at the well, but I want us to look at a mission trip to Samaria. A mission trip to Samaria. And let's see what is the most important thing to the Lord Jesus Christ as he goes on this mission trip. If you would, please start reading with me here in John chapter 4 and verse 3. The Bible says, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." The first thing that we see here on this mission trip is, first of all, that it was an important trip. It was an important trip. The Lord Jesus, as they were traveling from the southern part of Israel, Judah, going up to Galilee in the north. They were planning this trip. Jesus looks at the disciples and tells them, we're going to make a stop. He says, I must needs go through Samaria. He doesn't say it'd be convenient if we could stop in Samaria. He didn't say, if we find the time, if we're passing through, let's stop in Samaria. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Okay, now this was kind of an unusual thing for Jesus to say. Because normally, if someone was taking this trip, a Jewish person during this time, they would not have ended up in Samaria. Okay? Honestly, Samaria really was right on the way from Judea to Galilee. But normally, a Jewish person, as they're traveling north and going up, they would intentionally avoid and go around this area called Samaria. They wanted to have nothing to do with the people that lived there. The fact is, the Jews hated the Samaritans. They wanted nothing to do with those people. Because of something that happened a long time ago in the past, because of the mistakes and the sin of their forefathers, you know, their great-great-great-great-great-grandparents, the Jews hated the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. They wanted nothing to do with each other. And so imagine the surprise of the disciples when Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. I imagine maybe one or two of the disciples maybe spoke up. Maybe it was Peter. Maybe Peter said, Lord, are you sure that's a good idea? Lord, are you sure we should be going to a place like Samaria? We don't really belong there. We don't really fit in there. We're kind of uncomfortable being in a place like that. Lord, we don't really like those people. Are you sure we should be going to Samaria? But as we'll see, or as we continue reading, we see that first of all, it was the right place. It was the right place. Even though it didn't make sense maybe to the disciples, even though it may not have been logical, it was exactly where God wanted them to be. As we prepare to go to Indonesia, there are some things a little bit different about Indonesia. There are some challenges as we go there. There are some things that we may not be able to do like we would like to, especially with it being a Muslim country. We've got to do things a little bit differently as we try to reach out to people and as we try to share the gospel. And some people may look at a country like that, a place that is a majority Muslim country, and say, you know, I don't think I could go there. I don't think I could go to a place like that. That's not somewhere that I would be comfortable. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ died for those people, and Jesus Christ loved those people, just like Jesus Christ loved the people of Samaria. And just like Jesus Christ wanted someone to go and to share the truth in Samaria, God wants His Word to go around the world, and we see that they were in the right place. They were exactly where they needed to be. It was the right place, but as we continue reading, we all see it was the right time. It was the right time. They landed here in this area exactly when they needed to. In verse 5 it's of John 4, it says, Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Okay, now the sixth hour is not 6 o'clock. Okay, the way that they counted their time through their day during this period was they would start at the first hour, which was sunrise. So about 6 o'clock in the morning was the first hour. And so by the time you get from 6 at the first hour to the sixth hour, it's now noontime. It's now the hottest time of the day. And Jesus and His disciples, as they're traveling, they're no doubt starting to get a little bit tired. They're probably continuing to be sweaty. The sun is beating down, it's hot. It's time for them to stop and take a break. And they sit here at this well. And the Bible tells us the disciples went into town and Jesus stayed at the well. Because there's also around noontime, there's also something else that's very important that's happening. Okay? It's called lunchtime, one of my favorite times of day, okay? And the disciples were hungry. And so the disciples left Jesus to go into town to get some food for lunch. Now I imagine they probably implored Jesus and said, Jesus, we need to get into town. We need to get out of the sun. We need to get out of the heat. We need to go and get some refreshment. They were there at the well, but they didn't have anything to get the water out with. So they probably said, come get some water. Get in the shade. Get out of the sun. But the Bible tells the disciples went into town, but Jesus stayed there at the well. It didn't make sense. Why would Jesus be out here at the hottest time of day? Really, there would have been no one around. Jesus was when the disciples left, Jesus was the only one there sitting at the well. Now, certain times of the day, there would be a lot of people there. Usually early in the morning, before it got too hot, or late in the evening as the sun was going down, people would come to draw water from that well. But the Bible tells that as Jesus was sitting here alone, he starts to see someone approaching from the city. And this woman comes to the well to draw water. Now we find out later about a little bit about this woman. The fact is, this woman had some issues in her life. She had some problems. She had some sin in her life that she had allowed to be there and to have it allowed to stay. And the fact is, she was coming to the well at this time of day because she wanted to avoid the people. She wanted to be all by herself. Maybe she had gone earlier in the day or in the evening and had to endure the ridicule and the shame, and she had to go through that, and she decides she doesn't want to do that anymore. So she goes by herself at the hottest time of day. And honestly, it's probably a good thing the disciples had left and gone into town. I imagine they probably wouldn't have liked Jesus talking to this woman. They probably would have looked at Jesus and said, Lord, we shouldn't be talking to this woman. Lord, something's wrong here. This isn't the kind of person we need to be around. This isn't the kind of person that we need to be associating with. Lord, we need to get out of here. I mean, she's a Samaritan. She's a woman. She obviously is not the kind of person that we need to be around. Lord, we should get out of here. Praise the Lord that fortunately they ended up in town, and Jesus had the opportunity to sit here in the right place at the right time, and also we see the right person. The right person. Now I'm going to go ahead and tell you that, praise the Lord, there is no wrong person. Praise the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ came and died for all people. The Bible clearly teaches us that whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And praise the Lord that there's no one who's too high, and there's no one who's too low, and there's no one who's sinned too much that Jesus Christ cannot save. Praise the Lord for that. Again, though, this person may not be have been the first on the list of the disciples to talk to and to reach out to, but praise the Lord that it was the exact person that Jesus Christ wanted to come into contact with so that he could make a difference in her life, so that he could share the truth of the gospel. And again, as we go there to Indonesia, a lot of people have different opinions about Muslim people and about the things that they have done and about the history of many times their hatred and their attacks against many around the world and even here in the United States. But the fact is that those are people that the Lord Jesus Christ loved. The Lord Jesus Christ came and died for. And it may seem intimidating at first, but we count it a privilege to have the opportunity to go and to share the gospel with people who Jesus Christ died for. And Jesus Christ loved so much to offer himself as a sacrifice. And yet so many times we're intimidated by people. And maybe it's just a person who lives down the road. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone who, they just seem too far gone. But so many times we look at people and say, that's just not the kind of person really I feel comfortable sharing the gospel with. But praise the Lord, everyone's the right person to share the gospel with. And as Jesus was traveling on this trip, he was in the right place at the right time to meet the right person. It was an important trip, but also after this conversation begins, we see there's also an involved testimony. Jesus addresses this woman, and in verse 7, the Bible says, there cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And now Jesus strikes up a conversation with this woman. Okay, and it's not just a quick conversation. It's not just Jesus giving her a track and moving on. It's not a situation where this woman, says to Jesus, "What must I do to be saved?" But it takes some time. It takes a little bit of effort. Jesus has to work with this woman a little bit and to share some things and answer some questions that this woman has. And praise the Lord that as we go out and as we share the gospel with others and as we knock on doors and as we give out tracts to people, every now and then it just so happens we'll be able to share the gospel with someone for the very first time, and when they hear it, they believe it and they accept it and they trust Christ, and praise the Lord. But if you've been serving the Lord for long and if you've been trying to reach people for long, you've probably discovered that usually it takes a little bit of work. Usually it takes a little bit of time and effort. Sometimes you've got to go back again and talk to them another time. And sometimes you have to answer questions. And sometimes you might have to get help to answer some of those questions. But praise the Lord that Jesus took the time to answer the questions that this woman had. There are several things here that as Jesus is talking with this woman, really he encountered a lot of the same things that we will encounter as we are sharing the gospel with people there in Indonesia. As he's speaking to this woman, first of all, we see that there are some cultural barriers between Jesus and this woman. This woman is from Samaria. Jesus is a Jew. They were raised differently. They think differently. When Jesus addresses her, she's kind of surprised. Okay, this is unusual for this Jewish man to be talking to this woman. Basically, that's not the way we do things around here. Okay? When we get to Indonesia, it's a totally different culture. We've got to learn really how to interact with people and, you know, what to do and what to say and sometimes, you know, how to use your hands and how not to, and there are ways to offend people in the smallest things. Okay? This woman thought differently. She was raised differently than Jesus was. There were cultural barriers. But we also see there was spiritual ignorance. Jesus begins to direct the conversation to spiritual things, and this woman really has no idea what Jesus is talking about. Jesus talks about the water of life, and whosoever drinks of the living water will never thirst again. Okay? Of course, we know what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about eternal life that only comes from trusting in Him, and it can never go away. But this woman, it's almost amusing to hear her response verse 15. Okay, the Bible says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. This woman totally missed it. She said, wow, that would be awesome. If I could get this living water, I would never be thirsty again. That is just convenient. I mean, to never have to be, you know, to go and get water, to never be thirsty at all. I mean, that's like some kind of superpower, you know. You can just run and run and not have to, you know, not ever be thirsty. That would be awesome. She totally missed it. She didn't understand the spiritual truth that Jesus was sharing. There was spiritual ignorance. Also, we find out there were some moral obstacles. We learn that this woman had some sin in her life. The Bible tells us that this woman had been married 5 times and was now living with someone who wasn't her husband. And the fact is that the sin in her life had gotten to the point where it was just normal. It was just commonplace. She had sinned so much and for so long, she just thought, that's just kind of the way things are. That's just kind of who I am. And Jesus had to overcome that obstacle of that sin that had taken place in her life. And there are moral obstacles. And then finally, there was conflicting belief. Again, as Jesus tried to steer that conversation to spiritual things, the woman changed the subject. Basically said, we don't really believe the same way that you do. We don't really do things the same way in our religion. Okay. The fact is that as we're there in Indonesia, they have a different religion. They have a different system of faith. They do things absolutely differently. But praise the Lord, we're looking for opportunities to talk to them and have a conversation just like Jesus was with this woman. And we're looking for those chances that we can steer the conversation to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jesus Christ did. And even though someone might believe differently, and even though someone may not agree with you, we still need to make sure that we're sharing the gospel with them, that we are consistent, that we are persistent in sharing the truth of God's Word with them. It took some time and it took some effort for this conversation to get to this point. But I want you to see here how it ends. As Jesus is making this final presentation of the gospel and who He is, you know, I want you to see what Jesus says here. In verse 25 of John 4, the Bible says, "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am He." I that speak unto thee am He. And praise the Lord, this woman believed exactly what Jesus said, and her life was changed completely. Praise the Lord that as we go there to Indonesia, it's a little bit challenging, but praise the Lord, Muslim people are being saved all around the world. The gospel is powerful. The gospel is working everywhere. And you know, there are some of these obstacles that we have to overcome, but the fact is that if you go not too far down the road, in Byesville, Ohio, of all places, you're going to meet some people that think differently than you. They have a different culture. They were raised a different way. You'll meet people with spiritual ignorance. I guarantee there are people not far from you who really have never been in a church where they've heard the gospel preached. Really where they've heard a clear message of salvation. They don't know God's word. They've never read it. They've never heard it. There's spiritual ignorance. That there are people who are stuck in their sin. They feel like there's no way out. There are people really who believe differently. And when I talk about these things, it does sound like a foreign country, but the fact is that our world around us, right here where we are, is very different than it was 50, 60, 70 years ago. The gospel is a foreign thing to so many people, and it really, the fact is, it's our job to go and to share that truth. And praise the Lord, sometimes people believe it. Sometimes when they hear God's word, they accept it, just like this woman did. The Bible tells us her life was completely changed. The Bible tells us she left her water pots there at the well. She turned around and ran back into the city. And as she was going, she was telling everyone she came into contact with, come and see Jesus. Come and see this man who told me all these things. He has to be the Messiah. He has to be the one that we've been waiting for. And maybe she went knocking on the doors of homes. Maybe she went from business to business and inviting people, come and see this man. Come, you've got to meet this person. And as this is happening, the disciples who had run into town to get food are now also on their way out of town. And now the streets that were once empty at the hottest time of day are now filled with people coming out to see this man Jesus. Now I want you to think about what the disciples were thinking about here. Okay, remember, they didn't want to be on this trip. They didn't want to be in Samaria. This was not on their top list of places to be. The fact is, they really had two things on their mind. The first thing was to get the food as quickly as possible. And the second thing was to avoid talking to as many Samaritans as they possibly could. I can just kind of picture them making their way through town. There are people everywhere, and they're trying to kind of squeeze their way through. Excuse me, pardon me. Oh, sorry, too close. You know, excuse me. You know, try not to touch them. Try not to get too close. Try to stay away from those Samaritans. Okay? Kind of like shopping at Walmart with social distancing, okay? You're trying to stay away from people and trying to get your cereal, okay? That's really what the disciples were doing. And finally, they make their way out of town. They finally make their way back to Jesus. And I want you to see this conversation that takes place between the Lord Jesus Christ and the disciples. Look with me in verse 31, and we'll read down through verse 36 here. The Bible says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that ye know not of.'" Okay, now the disciples are confused. Okay, in verse 33, "Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Did someone else bring him food while we were gone?' Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look in the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." The disciples were so concerned about their lunch. They were so concerned about the food, they had to get into town as quickly as they could and get out, that they did not realize that they were surrounded by people who were going to spend eternity somewhere. They went into that shop and bought food, and the last thing on their mind was the soul of that person. And finally, to conclude here, we see Jesus gives to the disciple an invitation to toil. An invitation to toil. And Jesus, in verse 35, looks at the disciples, and just like that school teacher trying to get the attention of the students, just like a teacher would say, hey, look this way. Hey, let me have your attention. I need all eyes up here. I want you to change your focus. Look at me. In the same way, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. The disciples were so focused on the physical things that they were completely oblivious. They totally ignored the spiritual things. The fact is that in our modern world, we're so busy. We've got so many things going on. We have so many things to do. We, you know, maybe we get up in the morning and we rush off to work, or we hurry off to school, and we've got projects to do. We've got deadlines to meet. We've got so much going on. And then we get off work and we're rushing from one thing to another. We've got our to-do list of all these things we got to get done. Maybe we have to pick up kids from school, go to the bank, go to the grocery store, get some food. We've got all of these things to do. And it seems like just the smallest thing that kind of messes up your plan, it's just so frustrating. I can't believe they're taking so long at the grocery store. I can't believe there's this accident that's totally, you know, got us stuck in traffic. This is ridiculous. We get so worried about the physical things that we've got to get done, that we've got to accomplish, that we don't realize that there's a spiritual need all around us. Many times we are just like the disciples here. And in the same way, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to redirect our focus away from what we think is so important, from the things of this world, and to change our focus to spiritual things. Now, it's kind of interesting here because Jesus uses a parable. Jesus uses a physical representation, a physical story, to teach something spiritual to the disciples. Okay, this is a little unusual. Really, Jesus had taught parables many times. We see them all through the Gospels. But what's unusual about this is that usually Jesus would speak the parable to the multitudes. He would tell about this story about someone sowing seeds, or he'd talk about, you know, he'd tell a story about a man who was traveling, something they could understand. But then later on, Jesus would really give the spiritual truth directly to the disciples. But now we see the tables have turned. Now the disciples are so focused on the physical things that Jesus now needs to tell them a parable. And Jesus here is talking about a field that is ready to be harvested. Now, I imagine when Jesus said this, when Jesus said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields," I imagine there may have been one or two disciples who actually lifted up his head and was looking for that field that Jesus was talking about. But of course, Jesus wasn't talking about a physical field. He was talking about a spiritual field. He was talking about the people that were all around them, who were ready to hear the truth, who were ready to know about what was true, about who Jesus was. The fact is that these people streaming out of the city, they weren't just there to see the show like many times the multitude were. They were there to see really who Jesus was. They were searching for something. Many times as we go throughout our day and as we see people and come into contact with people, or you know, as we interact with our neighbors, many times we look at those people and we say, you know what? They don't really seem interested in hearing about the Word of God. They're not really, you know, they don't really care. They don't want to know about that. You know, that person's a little too hard to reach. I don't know if I could share the truth with them. But the fact is, if you were to really talk with them and really understand what they were thinking, the fact is, everyone around us is looking for something. They're searching. They're asking questions. They're saying, what's the purpose of all this? Well, what's the meaning of life? Why is all this going on? They're wondering, what is this existence? Is there something more? There has to be something more. The fact is that they are searching and thirsting for something that only we can give them. They are searching for that water of life. And if we don't step out and share that with them, then who will? The world will never satisfy. Only a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is what will truly make a difference in their lives. And yet, unfortunately, we're so busy running through town and getting our errands done, and you're getting our to-do list checked off, that we miss out on opportunities to share the gospel with someone who, honestly, is on their way to heaven or to hell. And we need so many times to change our focus. We need to lift up our eyes, and we need to look on the fields, and we need to focus on what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks is most important. The most important thing to Lord Jesus Christ was the souls of people. We need to change our focus and look on the fields. They're white. They're ready to be harvested. All we have to do is step out and work in the Lord's field. We have to step out, and we have to take away from our schedule, take some time, just like the Lord Jesus Christ did. He works things out, and many times He'll bring the right person into our path at the right time. We need to change our focus to what the Lord Jesus Christ thinks is most important. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today.